California faces a school library crisis due to the lack of a designated state funding source, leading to limited books, fewer librarians, and many schools without functioning libraries. Access Books Bay Area aims to address this issue by providing high-quality, culturally relevant books and transforming school library spaces. Their goal is to improve literacy for K-8 students in low-income areas, creating inviting environments that foster a love of reading. You can help this effort to bridge the literacy gap by donating and finding out more at accessbooksbayarea.org.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Sent toward the net. Out of the box. Lund starts to move it out with another man, Goodrow. Lund down the left, waits for some time. Crosses the line, drops it back. Ferraro moves to the circle, throws to the front of the net. Shot, score! Cam Lund is going to get his second career goal on the play. And the Sharks kid makes it happen coming out of the penalty box. Wow, what a goal!
Yeah, I think time will tell. I think he'll tell us what he's going to be. Do we have hopes that I think he's a top nine player for sure? Could it be a top six? Maybe. Could be a top three, maybe. So he'll tell us as the summer goes on, he gets in the gym and comes in the training camp next year. I think he'll tell us.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? We are waking up on a Monday morning, the final day of March. The season is into its final stretch for the San Jose Sharks. And they're coming off of two pretty bad losses, not to be entirely unexpected at this point of the year, but two that I think that we were all relatively surprised at. On the one hand, Cam Lund has scored in the last two games. On the other hand, the Sharks have been outscored 14-2 in games in which Cam Lund has scored. So I don't know how much we want to make of that. I just thought it was a funny little stat that had come together in my head that it was utterly meaningless. But for the San Jose Sharks, yeah, we have not grown accustomed to them getting blown out like that this year, especially in back-to-back games. They have been very, very tough to play against. They have responded well to bad games. They bounced back. But, you know, right now you can see the inexperience. You can see the way that they have not handled every situation the best. I think last night, obviously the slow start and taking a bunch of penalties was not helpful. But when they did not score on the 5-on-3, it felt like they got a little bit mentally defeated in the game. And I just noticed a difference with their pace, a difference with their play, a little bit too much of trying to make things happen, a little bit too much gripping, a little bit too much overall. And it just led to a not great performance for the Sharks when all was said and done. And listen, it's hard. You know, they are at the end stretch of a bad year. And I think this is another reason why they are going to make more changes this offseason to make sure they're not in the position to go through this again. Because, you know, William Eklund has been going through this for a couple years now. It's the first year for Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. And, you know, Colin Braff had a couple of opportunities to play at the end of the last year. But right now, this is just, it's got to be the end of when you're getting beat up like this, when you're on national TV and people are, you know, making you the butt of their joke because you're getting blown out 8-1 and you're coming off of a 6-1 loss and you're just, you know, you're getting absolutely throttled by your opposition. And listen, that's part of any rebuild. You're going to get beat up and it's up to the guys on the ice to make sure that doesn't happen. But when we do compare the talent of what the Sharks have to the Rangers or the Kings, you can see that there is a disparity and that plays out over 60 minutes of hockey. And it is certainly played out over the last couple of games, which they've lost 6-1 and 8-1, 14-2 on aggregate. But hey, Cam Lund is scoring goals, so I will take that as a low-key positive. That was Ryan Morsowski talking about him on the way in after you heard his goal, saying that, you know, we hope he's a top-nine guy. Is he a top six? You know, where is his ceiling? He's going to tell them in training camp and see how much work he does in the offseason. Ultimately, when you're giving these guys these opportunities, you want to see them come in and perform. You want to see them play at a very high level, and I think that's ultimately what you are hoping to get from these guys. And I don't think that watching Cam Lund come in and score is a bad thing any way, shape, or form, even if it is in the midst of an 8-1 loss or a 6-1 loss. I think you're coming in, and when he's getting an opportunity, of which there have not been many for the Sharks over the last couple of games, he's burying his chances. That, to me, is a good thing to see. He's played 3 games. He's got 2 goals. I'll take that any day of the week. And for me, watching him perform, that's good. You can see his vision. You can see his aggression, the way he jumped up to get both of those goals. That was him coming towards the net. That was him being aggressive and getting towards the dirty spaces and being in the right mindset of being ready to pick up loose pucks and an eye for goal. And he's made 2 goals so far in very, what I consider, similar plays that are showing off his vision. So I'll take that any day of the week. And for Cam Lund, It's not that these games are meaningless, because the record does matter. People are playing for the paying for the seats, and people are, you know, wanting to be entertained. But right now, you've just got to show the team that you can play. And I think there are a lot of guys on the Sharks right now that are trying to show in the team that they can play, that they can be part of the solution, that they can be here next year. So, you know, we'll see what these last, you know, nine games of the season are like now. If we look ahead to the Sharks' schedule, obviously Tuesday night in Anaheim, then they're home for three, Edmonton, Seattle, and Calgary on the road for four. They're going to be at Minnesota, at Edmonton, at Calgary, at Vancouver, and then they're home on the 16th to finish it off against the Oilers. I'm excited to see what the Sharks do over these final 2 weeks of hockey or so. I'd like to see some good performances. I'd like to see more goals from Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, etc. But right now, it's about making sure that the young guys get the most playing time that they can and that they have the most experience they can as they head into the offseason. I'm not going to give you too much of me today. I want to hear from Ryan Warsawski, and then I have an interview that I did with Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California coming up for you, because, listen, they've lost the two games they've played, you know, 6-1 and 8-1. There's not a whole lot to talk about, so I'm just not going to give you my long-winded thoughts on this, because, I mean, again, 6-1-8-1. What do you want me to say? But I do want you to hear from Ryan Warsawski, what he had to say after last night's game. Warzo was asked about why the team has dropped off after playing consistently competitive hockey and what they need to do to get back to that competitive hockey.
Yeah, I know. I think it starts with, obviously, our start of a hockey game is important for us. That gives us energy. That gets us into the game. Obviously, tonight we have a 5-on-3 we don't score on. But again, there's some things early in that game that we need to do a better job of. Puck play, execution. I thought our energy was a little bit better tonight than it was the night before. But yeah, it's disappointing.
And he is allowed to be disappointed, most definitely, because that's not the way the Sharks have played in these last two games, the way we've expected them to play. They have played at a much higher level than that all year long, and you know, every time it feels like they're moving away from getting a bad loss out of their system, they've still taken a couple this year. It was the 8-1 loss to Winnipeg early on. They had the bad loss to Colorado. You know, there have been some bad games along the way, and there may be another before we're through. So still not entirely out of their system. Still weird, considering, you know, the Sharks for so long never got blown out, it felt like. But, you know, this, again, is part of the process. Warzo was then asked what he has seen from Shakir Mukhmudulin.
Yeah, he's the kid's grinding. I got to give him credit. Young defenseman, we're asking him to do a lot. And he's learning on the go here. He's some mistakes, but he's learning, he's developing. So good experience for him.
And that is something that I've been talking about a lot lately, is just make sure these guys get the most out of this time. Wins and losses, although those are paramount, I would argue are not the main objective. The objective is to get guys as much experience and development time as possible out there in the National Hockey League, in the game in and of itself, to see what they need to work on going into the offseason and how they can be their best selves going forward. Warzo was next asked about the penalties that the veterans were taking, Ferraro, Gregor. He offered this.
Yeah, you just can't do it. Can't do it against any team, any place. You just can't do it, and we did that tonight, and that was really the whole shift in the hockey game.
We have seen more than a handful of games from Luca Cagnoni at this point. This is where Ryan Warsawski weighs in on the young D-man.
Yeah, just the game's going to have to slow down for him at some point. It's a lot for him right now, which is not his fault. It's a high-paced team, especially the LA Kings. His puck play, and it's going to have to be really dialed in. So a little bit in the third, he showed some flashes of things he can do. But again, another guy that's going to have a big summer. Come back into training camp quicker and obviously physically ready to go. But it's good. He's gone through this. This is a good experience for him.
Warsawski was also asked about the young players on his team learning about the true nature of the high level of competition in the NHL.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, and it's probably, you know, we're seeing that at times throughout the games when the game speeds up. Is where we get caught, you know. And I think when we're playing at one speed and you have to be able to play this game at different speeds, you know, that's where we get in a little bit of trouble. So it's a good experience for these players that hopefully they look back, hopefully next year, the year after, whenever there's, you know, as we get going here, that, you know, this is good for them to get punched in the face a little bit and get knocked down and some adversity they have to go through. That's part of life, you know, and these things are going to happen, so you got to move forward.
And I do think that is part of what needs to happen with this young San Jose Sharks team. They need to learn how to get beat up. They need to learn how to move beyond these losses. They need to learn how to focus on the next game once the game they've played in is over. They can't be ruminating. They can't be thinking about missed opportunities. They can obviously take moments to grow and learn and improve, but you don't want to get caught up thinking too much about the previous game. You just want to be able to move on And I think that that's what Warzo is alluding to, that yes, you can, you know, it's important that these guys learn what it's like to have, you know, a game in the NHL, to learn what the high level of competition is like, to have Camelon to understand what it's like to get beat up 8-1 and then move on. Same thing for Luca Cagnoni. Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini have obviously been here a little bit longer, but, you know, they're going through it as well still. Every time they take a bad loss, this is something that has not been happening to them for a long time. They've been playing on the best teams. They've been playing with the best young players. And this is a big, big change for them. So right now, you know, they've got to go through it. They've got to find themselves the way to move beyond these tough losses, these blowout losses, and get focused on the next game, which immediately is Anaheim. And Warsawski was also asked about the frustrations of getting Cam Lund that goal and making it a 2-1 game and then giving up a goal right thereafter.
Yeah, it's a defensive breakdown that we've specifically talked about this morning, which I think is frustrating about that. And, you know, I think a little bit of his, our T-core has changed quite a bit. So there's some miscommunication with some areas of our game because our team has changed a lot here. And that's something that, you know, I got to do a better job of getting our guys on the same page and how we need to be more connected in all three zones. So got to work on it. A day off tomorrow. We'll have a good morning skate against Anaheim. Be ready to go.
So that's head coach Ryan Warsawski after last night's game, talking about what he saw from his team, what they need to work on. Of course, a lot of that is an eye towards the future, of which there is no surprise. As promised, I did speak with Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California yesterday afternoon before the game. We started off looking back at that loss against the Rangers.
Yeah, and I think there were times where that second line that's been pretty good for the last, since they've been established, the Graf, Wenberg, Toffoli line, they had a couple chances early on. And, you know, obviously if those go in, things change. Jonathan Quick was also very good last night, as he usually is against the San Jose Sharks. And so that kind of changed things too. There's one particular play of 2-on-1 he pushed across. And if you score that one, you're back into it. The Wenberg at the end of the second period, that was just goes right by the post. And if you got one there going in the third, it's a 2-goal game. But really, you're probably playing catch up the whole night, because the top line for the Rangers outplayed the top line for the San Jose Sharks. I believe everyone on the top line for the Sharks was Dash. So, you know, that's just going to happen. And I think there's going to be moments down the stretch that this is going to happen or has the opportunity to happen, because the Rangers were coming off a game against the Ducks that they should have won. They had a 2-goal lead with less than 6 minutes to play. And then they end up only getting 1 point out of it. And in their position, they need to be getting 2 points against teams that they have better records in. That's just kind of the bottom line. And so when they go into a game against the Sharks, they're probably playing pretty pissed off. They probably refocused, and they know they have to have 2 points. And so that's what they're going to run into down the stretch here, is that these teams are actually fully desperate. Desperate times. They want to make the playoffs, especially like the Rangers, who – if they don't make the playoffs, that whole team's getting blown up. Everything's going to probably change there. And it still may change even if they do make the playoffs. So there's real desperation from New York that I think the Sharks are going to have trouble matching. But also, Ryan Warsawski said after the game that our young guys had young games.
Yeah.
And Smitty immediately reacted to that. Mark Smith was on postgame and just saying that it was, like you said, an immature. They're probably making plays that weren't there, or maybe they're trying to make plays that weren't there as well, you know, not doing the simple thing. So I think overall it was a one that you flush, and the Sharks haven't had a whole lot of those since the Four Nations break, so that's good. They probably, you know, law of averages, were probably due one at some point. And so they lose 6-1. Cam Lund gets his first National Hockey League goal. They didn't get shut out. They've only been shut out twice this year, which is, I think, that's also a sign of progress from a year ago. But yeah, last year or last night was last night. I think they're probably very happy that they're going to go roll right into this game against the Kings. Not saying that this is an easy game, because it's the Kings. They're a playoff team. They're fighting for home ice advantage. But they've played the Kings pretty tough this year, and they have an opportunity to rectify the situation that was a debacle against the Rangers. And that top line, I anticipate being much better tonight.
Yeah, one would hope so. And I think, to your point, you know, the Rangers have a lot more to play for than the Sharks do. And I know that we've said that before and sound like broken records probably, but it's different when you're fighting for the playoffs versus fighting to, you know, prove you're part of a quote-unquote solution in San Jose. It's just an entirely – one breeds guys playing for the team, the other one – breeds guys playing to show themselves. I'm not saying that in a negative, but, you know, guys with the Sharks right now are trying to show that they belong. It's not a team cohesive effort to, you know, make a playoff spot. You know, it's totally different. But we talked about Chicago right before we were jumped on here, and the Sharks are 4-6-0 in their last 10. Chicago's 1-8-1. They're playing right now at the time of this recording against Utah. Is it the worst thing in the world if the Sharks pass Chicago because they're going to get a stud one way or another? Or, you know, is it good for some of these guys to say, yeah, we're not last place for a second consecutive year? Because I look at it from both minds. I'm sure Warsawski and Macklin and Will and Toffoli, they don't want to be the worst team in the league.
No.
I'm sure if you ask Mike Greer, though, he might not hate having the number one or the best odds to get the number one pick again.
Well, I think you look at this, I think there's several things that come to mind. Is I don't think the Chicago Blackhawks right now this season are a better hockey team than the San Jose Sharks. And maybe that's biased because I've watched the Sharks every single night this year. But I really think that it's a true statement. I think the Chicago Blackhawks as a team is not as good as the San Jose Sharks. So I almost think that the way the Sharks are playing down here, the stretch there, it's almost inevitable that they're going to catch them in that standpoint, that they're going to not be the worst team in the league, which I think is progress. And I don't think we've talked about this, or that it can't be a bad thing when you start winning games and you start showing Mike Greer, the front office, that you have guys in place that you're turning around, especially after the trade deadline and you're at a talent deficit right now. You're playing a bunch of young guys, and you're still showing that you can compete and you can pick off some of these playoff teams that are going to come here to go against the San Jose Sharks the last 11 games or so, because I think that also is going to show, hey, if you go get us guys in the offseason, look what we can do with what we had the last 11 games. And now imagine if you add a couple more talented players, both on the front end and back end, then you really have odds here to make a push for a wild card or be in the playoff consideration this late in the year. Because the way that the NHL has made their points bracket, you know, it lends the hand to a lot of teams being in discussion late. Like if you look at the standings, there's a lot of teams that are quote unquote in it, but aren't in it. But you can pretend like you can talk yourself into being in the discussion, even if it's like, oh, we're 6 points back with 12 to play. That's kind of a lot to come back from, but you could talk yourself into it. Right.
Right.
So I think to your point, if they play, you know what, they have 11 games left, right? So if they have
10, including tonight, this is game 10, 73,
10, including tonight, my bad. So if they go 4-6 or 5-5, like that's a good improvement to get to 24 wins around that. That would be a solid improvement from last year, also knowing how many one goal games they lost. So I think you're proving something to that culture in the room. Yes, your odds drop for the top overall pick, but I will also say this, and I didn't think about this until someone brought it up. The draft has gone chalk the last 2 years with the top overall pick, correct?
Yeah.
Blackhawks and Sharks, they were the worst two teams in the league. What are the chances that it goes 3 years in a row, the team with the worst or the team with the best odds gets the top overall pick? If you're just thinking about ping pong balls and how they bounce, or if you have other ideas of how the draft may or may not go,
cold
you
envelopes,
know, maybe, huh?
Cold envelopes.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Cold envelopes. Maybe not being the last place team is actually going to be in your advantage. Cause if it goes 3 years in a row, you know, is that a possibility? I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at NHL history. But I don't know how many times it goes, you know, 3 years in a row that the team with the best odds gets the number one pick.
If we look at next year's roster and we start thinking about who's going to be there, obviously Macklin and Will, I assume Colin Graf, I assume Yaroslav Askarov, I assume Shakir Mukhmudulin. In terms of other young guys, who are you expecting to still be here next year? I mean, I imagine Cam Lund could have a similar arc to a Colin Graf, start off with a CUDA, then make his way up. I imagine, you know, Henry Thrun will still be here. You know, what are you thinking about next year? Ostapchuk's another.
Eklund's going to be here, obviously.
Well, so yeah.
I think if we're going like line by line, young guys, Graf, you got Toffoli, Wimberg, those are the veterans. And then I think the guys that Mike Greer traded for, there's probably a good chance that they're at least in consideration. Like Giles, he's fast, he's played a physical game. I've liked kind of what he's done. Ostapchuk, if you say he's going to be the Adam Lowry or has that potential, he's going to be here.
Right.
Right. And I don't, And he could start in the Barracuda too. He's still young, but I'd imagine they're going to give him every opportunity in the world to win a center spot down the bottom six. Kovalenko, Klim, I'm not so sure. I personally have, I think Kovalenko, if you could tap into his consistency, could be a useful piece for that bottom six. Klim, I think you've given every opportunity to take a job, and he just hasn't been able to take that step this year. So I'm not sure we'd see him come back around next year, especially, I mean, this late in the year. Last night, he got skipped a couple times after not getting the puck out that led to a goal. So, like, you're talking about that. And then you have, like, DeLandria, Grundstrom, Goodrow. Goodrow's still under contract. I believe Grundstrom and DeLandria both have another year. So I think they're going to be in the mix. It's just you start to look at it, you have a lot of guys that are going to kind of be in that mix that are all kind of going to be bottom six, maybe have the potential to move to the second line, like Cam Lund. But he's probably going to be, like you said, I think he's going to be on the Colin Graf development plan. And then you look on the back end, there's kind of a logjam in a sense. It's like you have Henry Thrun, you have Shakir Mukhmadun, you have Kenyoni, you have Jack Thompson, and then you have Ferraro, Desharnais. Like you have a lot of bodies, but are they the right bodies? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. And did you say Vlasic? Because he's still got another year.
Vlasic's got another year too. And then what the big question I think that will need to be answered by the Sharks is, what are you going to do with Sam Dickinson?
Yeah.
Because Sam Dickinson has done everything in the world at the junior level. He's breaking a London Knights defensive record, which the London Knights are one of the most storied programs and organizations in OHL. So what are you going to do with him? Does it do you any good sending him back to juniors because he's going to be too young to play in the AHL? So I think they should do the Macklin Celebrini Will Smith development plan with him next year. I'm not on that staff. I have never played NHL games, and Todd Marchant and his crew has over 10,000 games played in the NHL. So I think they're going to have a plan for him. But then you also have to think about that on the back end is like, you're going to add, you could potentially bring him. He's probably going to get for sure the 10 game tryout next year, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But but Henry Thrun, I think, is here. Shakir's here. Kenyoni's going to Musty Chernyshov.
Yeah.
Both those guys. I think both those guys. I think there's a chance that we could see one of, depending on how their playoffs go, we might see them down the stretch as far as like a start their entry level. And they could also be on that Colin Graf development plan. I think for sure they're going to be at the Barracuda at the very least next year, because Chernyshov's 20, I believe. Musty's going to be 20, I think, too, as well. So those guys can play in the AHL. So I think those guys are going to be within the organization. And it's going to be interesting. And that's the other thing is they're starting to get to the point where the prospects, you're going to either start seeing them in San Jose in some capacity, whether that's with the CUDA or with the Sharks. So I didn't really answer your question because I just think there's so many moving parts that on the back end, like they have a lot of bodies. They have a lot of young bodies. They almost have too many. So I don't know what they're going to do to kind of rectify that situation. But they have options, and there's going to be some competition there. And is there any guy that you stand out that you think is a young guy that can be there and that you want to see have a bigger opportunity?
I mean, nothing beyond what the names we've already listed.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me to think about how many guys could continue to move up. And like, I think Colin Graf has progressed faster than what a lot of people have expected. I mean, his growth in the last month has been pretty staggering. I think both Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini are ahead of schedule. I think that it's hard to judge Luca Cagnoni after just a couple of games, and same thing with Cam Lund. But I think though that what we're consistently seeing is that these guys, when they come up, if they're a little bit more highly touted, they have been able to perform. I mean, even I wanted to ask you about this. I mean, Cam Lund, I thought that against Toronto, the first shift, he looked a little bit out of sorts, but after that, he settled in nicely. But the way he jumped up to score that goal last night, like that's an NHL player's mind. There was zero hesitation. Yeah, he saw it and he went at it.
I like what I've seen from Cam Lund the last two games. I actually think he's probably been a little more poised and aware than maybe we saw Colin Graf last year in his seven games coming back over from Quinnipiac. And that's nothing against Graf, because it wasn't necessarily he did anything wrong, but the thing that I've noticed about Lund is that he just seems like he's in good positions and he's not rushing. Like he's letting the game come. And like you said, the first shift obviously jitters and everything like that, but he's looked pretty good. And I'm interested to see where he goes. And that could be a useful middle six type of piece that could work your power play. And then I think he's been nice to see and he gets his goal and I will celebrate more. I said on post game too, he's like, I know it was a 6-0 game at the time that he scored to make it 6-1, but it's your first National Hockey League goal, man. Like, this is a moment you're going to live forever. And you don't want to show up the other team. I get that. That's all how it goes, but you're only going to get one of those.
Well, I mean, it's 6-0. I mean, that had to go through his head, but I mean, it's good to see it come quickly. I think that's the other part about it is that you can see exactly why, you know, they're giving him this opportunity now. And, you know, we're watching multiple players get these opportunities with San Jose. And, you know, that's the way, Al, that you maximize what is I won't call it a lost year because they are making the most of it. They're getting young guys time out there on the ice. And I think that's what's setting up the more interesting question of the offseason is what Mike Greer does in free agency, because he has to spend money just to get them to the floor, A, and then B, I do think that, you know, he probably wants to make this team in a place where they can take big steps like what we saw Anaheim do this year. But it's funny, Al, because a lot of people are saying that there is Mike Greer's doing a masterclass with this rebuild. And I'm always kind of like, how do you know? Because they're not there yet. And look at the Red Wings. They're once again on the outside looking in. I mean, Anaheim's still on the outside looking in. You go all around the NHL, so many teams. I mean, Ottawa's finally rectifying things. But I mean, we won't know until we get to the end of this quote-unquote rebuild road and they are a true contender.
Well, I think that's totally true. But I think you can point to things, and this has nothing to do with Matt. This has nothing to do with Mike Greer per se. But when you get Macklin Celebrini, he's shown to be the player that he is. It helps you rebuild, right? Like by default, you look like a genius by getting that first overall pick. You didn't really. I mean, the only thing you did was not have the team that can compete at that level, so you get that pick. But that's worked. I will say, it seems like every prospect in the pipeline, whether it's with the Barracuda, with the Sharks, when you're talking about those two high-profile ones, and even Shakir Mukhamudulin. But then even if you go throughout their organizational depth and you look down in the teens or whatever on your prospect pool, everyone's taking steps forward. There's no prospect that I've read or saw any reports about that's like, oh, he's not having a good year.
Yeah.
So I think that plays into it, is that all the prospects are still developing. And like Joey Maldoni with UConn just scored a goal and they're trying to get into the Frozen Four, and he's not even on prospect list. Cam Lund is an honorable mention. So I think the depth of their prospect pool, when you're getting to that, and they're, you know, and Gushin's on their list and he's hasn't played more than a handful of games in NHL this year. So from the prospect pool, it's right. And I think the other thing is that what you're talking about is that he hasn't fallen in love with players yet. He's still in mind with, we got to get draft capital. And now you've done all that, right? So I think that stage is done. And now to your other point is, now the real work kind of begins. Like, this is now, you've gotten to the point where you can kind of see, you're at the front end of that tunnel and you see the light on the other side, but you're just starting. That middle portion, this is going to be huge. And I think it starts this offseason. And I think it comes down to whether or not they decide they're going to push a little bit harder into next year. I think all Sharks fans would agree that they hope that it happens, that they push a little bit hard and they have to spend money. But I also would caution, we're talking about all these prospects. They cannot bring all these prospects into the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work. So if you are a big fan of prospect A, B, or C, just be aware that they might be used to go get a veteran player that's going to help a little bit more immediate than that person that you are really high on is going to see. And it could come back where you trade away a prospect and that person goes on and has a great career. But that's just the cost of doing business. And if you want the Sharks to compete next year to an extent of, you know, I don't think, I think it'd be false to be like, oh, they're going to be a playoff contender or a playoff, a real cup contender. But they could push a little bit harder and still could be in the conversation next year. And I think they're going to have to use some of these assets now to either to now make trades to get some guys in here that can help sooner. And also now use their draft, their salary cap to, you know, they have to get to 20 million. They're 20 million away from the floor. That's right. At the bare minimum, that's like 4 to 6 players if you're going like kind of the middle of the road salaries, right? Now, if you want to go swing big, it's different. But that's just to get to the floor. They really have, I believe, $40 to $50 million in cap space. And obviously, they shouldn't use all that. But, you know, that's another conversation for another time, I guess.
Again, that was Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California joining me here on Morning Tide. We are out of time. I will see you before Anaheim tomorrow for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.